There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
College Football Live, it's the Blue Suit Crew of Peter Burns, Mike Golic Jr., and Dusty Dvorak. None of us have entered the transfer portal, but that doesn't mean people haven't done it today. Let's go ahead and get you caught up with everybody's trending on Twitter and talking about in college football, which is quarterbacks going into that transfer portal. My goodness, Justin Fields is in there. Jalen Hurts, Tate Martell, Brandon Wimbush might be moving on from Notre Dame. And now Austin Kendall, right before the show starts, we throw out the complete rundown, guys. Let's start with the one that everyone has talked about, and that is Jalen Hurts. Dusty Dvorak, you're there in Norman, Oklahoma. Do the Sooners have interest in Jalen Hurts?
And they do have interest in Jalen Hurts, and I think there's interest from Jalen Hurts and the Oklahoma Sooners. I mean, his father contacted the university about a month ago just to touch base with his coaching staff and see where they're at. So I think there's no question Oklahoma does. They've got to replace Kyler Murray. Austin Kendall, as you just mentioned, is now in the portal. I think that tells you a little bit about how they feel about him leading Oklahoma back to a fifth straight Big 12 championship. So the debate can begin. There's a lot of people that want Jalen Hurts' services, but I think clearly Oklahoma is one of those, and it feels like Jalen Hurts is reciprocating those emotions.
Gojo, I mean, this to me seems like a no-brainer, right? Back-to-back transfer quarterbacks that win the Heisman. How would Jalen Hurts say no to this if there's mutual interest?
It's a great pipeline, but at the same time, I think the news today of Dan Enos, who was his quarterbacks coach at Alabama, taking that offensive coordinator job at Miami under Manny Diaz, kind of complicates things. Miami, a great young receiving core. We know that relationship meant enough to him where Jalen Hurts wanted to stick around this season. He thought he could develop under Coach Enos at Alabama, even as a backup. And so that relationship going to a place with as much talent on the defensive side of the ball that he could lean on as well has to be enticing.
I think Miami is definitely one of those top options for him. And it's kind of what does Jalen Hurts want, right? I mean, does he want familiarity, continuity with Dan Enos, a guy that he knows and trusts? Or does he want to go to a guy who's turned two straight transfers into Heisman Trophy winners, a guy that in the NFL and in college is regarded as maybe the best offensive mind in all of football out there right now? So I think there's a lot of things to look at. And I don't think it's a slam dunk that Jalen Hurts' skill set fits what Lincoln Riley does. But my biggest thing, that's kind of the greatness of Lincoln Riley, the way he's adapted and adjusted his offenses to multiple running backs, to Baker Mayfield, not a Kyler Murray. He would definitely do the same thing with Jalen Hurts. You probably see a little bit more run-oriented offense around a quarterback that can really run it, take that pounding. They did just lose four offensive linemen, so whoever's playing quarterback has got to be mobile and maybe help out that defensive struggle with a little bit more of a rushing attack, which Jalen Hurts would definitely give you.
Yeah, and I think that's just it on the other side for Jalen Hurts. If you're looking to go to a place where maybe you don't have to alleviate as many stressors on the other side, you take that comfort, and Dusty, you know this, continuity in college football, really at any level of football, is such a valuable commodity. So when you combine that with a defense that's going to go out there and provide for you, you won't have to provide for it, especially with the kind of quality they're bringing back. That's a hard thing to pass up.
Yeah, I mean, also going back to the Miami thing, the ACC Coastal looks like it's going to be a struggle bus next year, so he could put up some numbers. And poor Mike Locksley's at Maryland, like, saying, come on, let's see if we can make that happen. All right, that's not the other transfer quarterback we're talking about, although we didn't think we'd be talking about Tate Martell, gentlemen. In late December, he had this to say about possibly staying at Ohio State.
If anybody comes in, it's going to take over a year of learning the offense to where you need to be able to go on the field and perform at a high level. So, I mean,
if somebody's going to come in, then they're going to come in and walk in and start. It's not, probably not going to happen. I mean, it's an NFL type of offense, and it's difficult to learn. So it takes people a while to get it down. After 2 years being in this, I mean, I know what I'm doing. I'm on point with everything I do. I'm running the offense sharp.
Now, Gojo, that was just about over a week ago that he said that. He said, hey, I love my teammates. I can't wait to go there. Justin Fields announced he's transferring, but it's not 100% sure that he's going to be eligible immediately. Why on earth would Tate Martell put his name in the portal right here, right now?
it seems like a panic move in my mind to react that quickly to news that is floating out there. And this is kind of the weird ambiguity we're in now. We're all sort of laughing at this transfer portal name and the things it entails, but it creates a strange middle ground for not only the coaches that are having to deal with all this, but the players that are processing information on their side. And so who knows what Tate Martell is hearing around campus there right now as all of this kind of fluctuates. But clearly, within a week, that seems like a panic move in my mind.
My oh my, how things can change. A month ago, he's the starting quarterback. Now he's in the portal. What's going on at Ohio State? Don't sleep on Matthew Baldwin either is another reason he might be transferring. This was Ryan Day's guy from a year ago, four-star quarterback from Lake Travis, same place as Baker Mayfield and many others. They've had six now Division I quarterbacks in the last 12 years, so he's 6'3". He's over 200 pounds. He's much more of a pro-style quarterback than Tate Martell, who comes from Bishop Gorman. He's 5'11". He moves around. But for Ryan Day's offense, I actually think Matthew Baldwin, the freshman, fits better, and I think maybe Martell Tate kind of sees that.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at what Tate's going to decide here at this point, because he's not a graduate transfer, and I don't think there's any reason that he would have immediate eligibility because of a transfer waiver rule, he would have to sit out a year unless he goes to another division. All right, is this the new normal, Dusty? I mean, is this where we're going to see? Is everybody kind of plucking their quote-unquote free agent quarterback rather than developing young talent?
This is the new normal, and I don't think it's a great thing for college football, but it is what it is. And it's a delicate balancing act that head coaches have to play, offensive coordinators, because you want to keep everybody happy, right? Because what you have to have at a major college level is depth. How do you keep depth when one quarterback knows he's not going to be the guy and another quarterback, you know, because a quarterback's going to come in? How do you convince him to stay and compete for that job? It just isn't very popular around college football. So we see it all across the country. One of the toughest tasks for coaches now is to keep everybody on your roster happy or else they're going to transfer.
We had so much of this conversation surrounding the biggest quarterback battle in the country last year with Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa in Alabama. How do you keep Jalen Hurts engaged enough to want to stay on campus? And that's really the challenge now, too, with the young quarterbacks that are so good getting on the field early. When you look at Tua Tagovailoa, when you look at Trevor Lawrence at Clemson, is now you've got these kids that are future first-round, future number one overall picks getting on campus early, and you're seeing even at, like, the Georgias of the world where Jake Fromm is forcing five stars to transfer left and right. So even if you're fortunate to get someone there for a while, you end up risking losing some of the talent you work so hard to recruit and bring in.
All right, you're talking about recruiting young talent, right? We've been talking about players leaving. Coming up on College Football Live, we're talking about coaches leaving. What in the world is going on down in T-Town? Don't break the headset, Nick Saban. We'll talk about trouble in T-Town with them losing several different coaches on that offensive staff. Sports Center, yeah, tonight, 12:30 a.m. Eastern. How about Scott Van Pelt giving his midseason MVP? Teddy Bruschi going to join the show talking about Los Angeles Rams and if Todd Gurley is going to be 100% and Chargers Pats. Why L.A. must change. That tonight or tomorrow morning on ESPN. It should be live on the ESPN app. Welcome back to College Football Live. Coaching turnover, nothing new for the Tide, right? But they lost three more offensive coaches this offseason. Mike Locksley headed to Maryland. Josh Gattis on his way to Ann Arbor. And earlier today, Miami hired Dan Enos away from the Tide as offensive coordinator. All right, Golic Jr., Dusty Dvorak, let's get into this. Trouble brewing in T-Town, Golic Jr., when you see another mass exodus of coaches from Nick Saban's squad?
I won't predict the demise just yet, but this is a difficult process to go through. I played for four offensive coordinators in 5 years, had four offensive line coaches in that same time period at Notre Dame. And the one thing you find is that everyone's language is certainly different. You always hear that, but even philosophies, and for an offense that's gone through such an overhaul schematically once Tua took over at quarterback, I don't think you can shortchange what this kind of turnover can do to affect the team that was really in rhythm, especially early on the first half of this year.
There's one constant in Tuscaloosa, and it's all that matters, Nick Saban. As long as Nick Saban's there, I don't worry about it. Listen, coaches are going to come to Alabama, and they're going to leave because you go to Alabama, you work with Nick Saban, and people want to hire you. That's the way it goes. You know what you have at Alabama you don't have other places? The best players in college football. What makes all coaches look better? Great football players. So
yeah,
is it a concern to what you're saying, Golic Jr.? Yes, it's a concern because new scheme, you know, familiarity, language, all that stuff, but – You just mentioned it. We've seen Nick Saban have multiple coordinators come in over the years,
but
and they
Dusty,
continue to win
Dusty,
and win at a high level.
This is a huge thing, right? Because we saw on the national championship game what happens. Traditionally, Alabama can out Jimmy and Joe. They can out-athlete 99% of college football teams. Well, what happened? They ran into the 1% team that could out-scheme them because Brent Venables had been there. Josh Elliott had called that offense. And again, I don't care how good the ingredients are in the kitchen. If you keep having a different chef, you're not going to get a consistent meal. And I think that's going to be a concern because I think guys, frankly, are a little bit burnt out. Why would Dan Enos, who has a Heisman Trophy runner-up and four of the top five wide receivers returning to one of the most explosive offenses ever, not go back to Alabama? There has to be a reason there, right?
Well, it's like playing the stock market the same way you do as a player. You're trying to go to Alabama, as Dusty pointed out, to improve your stock and your look around college football enough to be able to go and take advantage of that. Because we all know Nick Saban has to be a bear to work for. He's a grinder. He has that reputation. And you can see it would absolutely wear on a coach.
You know you that look- going in, though. He's always been that way. You know when you go to Tuscaloosa what to expect. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to win and win at a high level. And more than likely, you're going to get a better job and you're going to get paid more money. Do you have to bide your time and deal with Nick and he's tough? Absolutely. But I can promise you there is coaches lined up right now that would love to be down there in Tuscaloosa, work with those players and have that opportunity to be around Nick Saban.
Dusty, hey man, listen, man, nobody likes law school or medical school, but when they come out, they're a whole lot smarter, and you know, they traditionally make a whole lot of money as well, too. Another guy that's going to be making money, Josh Gattis. He goes from Alabama to Michigan. So how big of a move is that, Dusty? When you look at that, Alabama co-OC Gattis rolling to the Wolverines as an offensive coordinator. You used to be teammates with him, right?
Former teammate of mine, Chicago Bears, Josh Gattis, had a cup of coffee there, was a safety, great guy, and he's done a phenomenal job. The one thing that he's going to do at Michigan, he's going to recruit, because that's one of the biggest things that he does. When you go back to when he was at Penn State, five-star wide receivers, did a great job in Tuscaloosa for Alabama, so he's going to recruit and recruit an extremely high level. He's also going to do something that Michigan hasn't had in a while, help get them a passing game. Come on. Shea Patterson's got weapons at wide receiver. They're not utilizing them. They need to create space. They need big plays. They were 79th in college football in yards per game passing last year. That's got to come way up when you look at the talent that they have. Josh Gattis, he's going to get this offense much more well-rounded, and that passing game is actually going to be something that defenses are going to fear as opposed to something they'd overlook.
Especially at the wide receiver position. I mean, if I'm Donovan Peoples-Jones, I am salivating looking at the work that Gattis has done with receivers going all the way back to Jordan Matthews at Vanderbilt. You looked at Godwin at Penn State. And this last year, make your pick out of the Alabama receiving core that was dynamic all year long. He has developed that position as well as anyone in college football in the last 5 to 6 years. And so if I'm that receiving core, I'm chomping at the bit to get to work this offseason.
Yeah, he did it at Western Michigan, Vandy, Penn State, Alabama. Michigan last year, 25 pass attempts a game over the last 2 years. Penn State and Alabama, they threw it at least 33 pass attempts, so you should see a little bit more production. A lot of production out of the Clemson Tigers, winning two of the last three in national titles. So, who's the next Clemson? The one to join the one percenters? We got an idea. Me and Golic actually will agree with that. It's kind of scary. We agree that this is going to be a great game. Louisville, North Carolina, part of an ACC doubleheader. Saturday showcase starting Saturday at noon right here on ESPN. And if you're out and about, you can always catch it streaming live on the ESPN app. And then Duke, Zion Williamson going against Florida State Saturday, 2 p.m. over on ESPN.
College Football Live is brought to you by Advil. You'll ask what pain with Advil.
The Tigers reclaim their crown by crushing Alabama.
If you've grown tired of watching Alabama and Clemson play each other for a national title, here's another dose of bad news. The Tigers and Crimson Tide are ranked numbers 1 and 2 in the 2019 Way Too Early Top 25. They bring back the top two quarterbacks in college football and the leading Heisman Trophy contenders next season. While both teams are expected to lose a handful of defensive stars to the NFL, they've grown accustomed to simply reloading with top five recruiting classes and five-star reserves on the bench.
These two teams have been the best. Why would you get tired of excellence?
Alabama's biggest threat in the SEC is number 3 Georgia, which nearly upset the Crimson Tide in their last two meetings, led by quarterback Jake Fromm and what might be the best offensive line in the FBS. The Bulldogs might finally get over the hump next season. Ohio State, which has a new head coach and a new quarterback, grabs the coveted number 4 spot. The Buckeyes fell short of reaching the playoff this past season, but new coach Ryan Day inherits a defense that might bring back 10 starters and enough firepower on offense to beat number 11 Michigan again and win the Big Ten.
Doesn't get any better than this if you're an Ohio State fan.
Who are the teams that might crash the CFP party in 2019? Look no further than the Lone Star State.
Longhorn Nation, we're back!
Texas and Texas A&M, each coming off big bowl wins, might both be back. The Longhorns and Aggies come in at numbers 8 and 9, respectively, and are expected to be led by returning QB Sam Ellinger and Kellen Mond. And isn't it a shame they won't settle things on the field?
For me! Yeah. For him!
Yeah.
Among the way too early surprises, number 14 UCF, which saw its 25-game winning streak end in the Fiesta Bowl, and number 15 Syracuse, which won 10 games for the first time since 2001. And at number 25, Army, which won 11 games for the first time in the 125-year history of the program. While the confetti just finished falling at Levi's Stadium, it's never too early to start looking ahead. The 2019 college football season kicks off in less than 8 months.
Oh, I already can't wait, boys. All right, Dusty, we've seen Alabama up there for a while. Clemson's kind of that next 1% team. Who is going to be behind Clemson? Who's that next team that takes that step?
It's going to be Georgia. I mean, they're right there knocking on the door already, right? I mean, outplayed Alabama, you could say, for the most part of two games in back-to-back years. But I just look at what Kirby Smart's done. 9 years with Nick Saban in Tuscaloosa. He's got the blueprint, and he understands he's got to get the players, and he's done that. How about in his 4 recruiting classes? 7 his first year, 3rd back in 2016, number 1 last year, and number 2 recruiting class this year. When you get players like that, you're going to win a lot of games. He's already been 32-10 in his first 3 years, and I think within the next few, he's going to win himself a national championship.
Mm. It's a great-looking outfit, no doubt, but I got to look in the other side of the SEC over in the West at Texas A&M, and you look what was going on in this program already in year one. The turnaround is substantial. You're recruiting well. The number 3 recruiting class in 2019 for Jimbo Fisher. Kellen Mond's coming back, and the resources behind this program, I think, put them on par with anyone in the country.
Yeah, facilities, and you got Jimbo Fisher. I agree with Texas A&M, and you have a fan base that's ready and a whole administration from Scott Woodward on that says, we want to go in this direction. Texas A&M is ready to do it, although I don't think so in 2019, 2020 is going to be the season. All right, which of these programs, Dusty, we'll start with you, may have a little bit of issues going forward that may be in trouble?
Well, I'm worried about Wisconsin right now. Now, truth be told, I picked them to be in the college football playoff last year, and they struggled and struggled mightily, right? They finished 8-5, their worst record since 2012. And I like Paul Chryst, and I like what they're all about. But they came back last year, and they had so many guys returning, and they couldn't capitalize. They had 3 offensive linemen. They're losing some key players on defense. Now, I love Jonathan Taylor as much as anybody. He's fantastic. But is he enough? And here's the problem. Nebraska's coming. Purdue's coming. I don't know. I'm a little bit worried about Wisconsin, especially Alex Hornibrook in concussion protocol still hasn't progressed. Is Jack Cohn the guy? I just got questions right now in Madison.
Questions in Madison. I might be on an island on this one, but I'm a little worried about all the expectations surrounding Texas right now. And you heard the sound from Sam Ellinger saying, we're back. And anytime I hear that, maybe I cringe a little bit. But I also cringe a little bit seeing how often he was hit in that bowl game versus Georgia. 164 rushing attempts for their quarterback this year, a guy who dealt with some concussion issues his freshman year and is the linchpin in that offense. They expect him to be Tebow. I don't know if that's realistic anymore.
Tim Tebow now engaged. I don't think Sam Ellinger is. All right, for mine, before I get the hate calls and the tweets at Peter Burns, ESPN, it's Alabama. That's the one I'm concerned about. Not because I think the dynasty's dead or anything. Not that I think that they're going to go 7-5,
But it's a pass or fail grade in Tuscaloosa, right? You either win the championship or you don't. And I feel a guy's like, it's almost like Kentucky basketball in the fact that the coaching staff has all the talent in the world, except for all that coaching turnover. You are trying to gel throughout the season. I'm just not sure if that will it'll come back to haunt them. All right. How about programs we are excited about coming in 2019, Dusty?
The Nebraska Cornhuskers, man. Scott Frost in year number two. Pretty good year at Central Florida. It's going to be a good year this year. I think they might win the Big Ten West. And here's the deal. 0-6 to start, 4-2 in their final six, and they were extremely competitive. And this team really started to understand what Scott Frost expected from them. And Adrian Martinez, the quarterback, he's why I'm so high on the Nebraska Cornhuskers. The true freshman stepped in, had a nice season, over 2,600 yards passing, also ran for over 625 total touchdowns. Watch out for the Huskers. They might be back next season in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I'm going to go with another second-year head coach. Look at Dan Mullen and the job he did at Florida this past season. Dominant win over Michigan in their bowl game. But during the course of the season, you look at the major turnaround, getting every drop he can out of Felipe Franks, their quarterback. We know that's his M.O., but improving their point margin, that point total from last year by 225 points, their point differential this last season, that's a massive jump for this team in just a year's time.
It's a massive jump for you to like two SEC teams. You like A&M in Florida, Golic Jr. This New Year's resolution is
great. Hanging out with you too much, Peter.
Hey, now how about this? This is crazy. I want the Oregon Ducks to be good. That's right. Mario Cristobal, right? Coming in, they had a great recruiting class. Kayvon Thibodeau. You've got the kid, Troy Dye, the leading tackler, is coming back. Justin Herbert's coming back. I don't want this to be a Power Four conferences in college football. Pac-12, give me something to be excited for. They're going to be opening up against the Auburn Tigers. That's the program I want, mostly just because I like the uniforms as well, too. All right, Trevor Lawrence or the field for the Heisman, Dusty? Where are you rolling with?
I had Clemson twice this year on ABC, so I've watched a lot of tape on this young man. I said on my radio show this week before the national title that he's the best pro prospect I've ever watched. But give me the field, man. Are you kidding me? Last year was a done deal. Tua's going to win it, right? Enter Kyler Murray. There's too many other great players around college football and too many variables. Trevor Lawrence going into the year, he's the best player in the country. But is that the way it's going to be throughout the course of the season? And by the very end, the Heisman, you got Jake Fromm. You got Tua Tagovailoa who's going to be trying to show something. You've also got Justin Herbert. And we saw Sam Ehlinger. All those guys got a chance for big seasons.
Come on, man. Give me Trevor Lawrence. The hair, the arm. He's got everything. You can keep the field. I'll take the kid who's going to get a chance to grow with Justin Ross, grow with the rest of this offense. You get Travis Etienne, but you get all of this firepower that's going to continue to make his job easy while he goes into his second year on campus. He's not looking for which dorms to go visit his friends in anymore. He knows his way around the block down there.
I'm so excited I get to disagree with you as we take a two-week hiatus, Golic Jr. Give me the feel. That's the way. We'll see you back on January 28th. Thanks for watching College Football Live.